Right, Proverbs chapter 16 this evening. Actually, it's John chapter 16. Says I get them mixed up if it's Proverbs or John or which one we are, but we're in John on Wednesday night. So I told him, I said, I'll say Proverbs. Nobody else will notice either. So John chapter 16 this evening. I forgot my glasses, and I'm using borrowed glasses that I have no idea where they came from. So I don't know. I can't wear them and look at them. They're not purple, I can tell you that. And they're definitely not pink. They are brownish, blackish of some sort. So. All right, John chapter 16, let's read a few verses and we'll let you be seated this evening. Bible says, these things have I spoken to you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. This isn't the message tonight, but that verse there, you can tie that right back into the Apostle Paul. When Paul was persecuting the church, a lot of people say, well, you know, why was he persecuting the church? Because of that reason. He thought he was doing something for God because he was following after what he'd been taught. Verse 3, and these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Let's pray. Father, we sure thank you, Lord, for your precious book. Thank you for truth tonight. And I pray, God, for just the next little bit, God, that you'd help us. God, we desire to be taught. We desire to learn. And God, I pray tonight, Lord, that we see these truths here so plain, so simple tonight. God, I know if you don't draw our minds and our attentions, God, it'll all be in vain. But Lord, I'm glad your word will work, and God, it'll never return void. God, help us, Lord. I know there's needs tonight. Our heart is full. And God, we'll thank you and praise you for what you do here. For us, in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Now, we're going to look at this tonight, and there's really about three things that we want to really point out tonight. Two of them have to do with you and I. The third one really has to do with us too, but it's driven from a different direction. Now, let's draw our minds to the scene. We've went through chapter 14. We've gone through chapter 15. Here we're running into chapter 16. The Lord Jesus Christ is in that upper room. He's spending time, the last times, with those men, those ones that have been so close to him. And it's not going to be very long from this point that he'll be arrested, and won't be long till they'll watch him die on that cross. And so here, you know, things are starting to set them places into place. So let's look at what the Lord shows us here. And again, he's speaking to these men on the verge of leaving them. And so he's given them these last things. You know, there's something about the last words. It's something that, you know, he's been with them these almost three and a half years. They've seen, they've heard, they've watched. And here we're coming to the latter part of what Christ is showing them. So the first couple things we want to look at this evening here in verse number one, two things really. It says, first of all, he says, these things have I spoken to you, that you should not be offended, that they shall put you out of the synagogue. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God's service. And the first thing he shows them here is they're going to face persecution. You know, what a conversation if you think about how chapter 14, chapter 15 has rolled through in such an intimate place. And then he comes here and he tells them here that I've told you these things that you shouldn't be offended. Why? Because they're going to kick you out of the synagogues, and there's coming a time that whosoever killeth you. Now, that's encouraging, isn't it? The Lord's telling them that they're going to kill you. I wonder tonight how many of us would have been here if we'd known that we were going to get killed coming here. Probably not many. So again, we find here that he's telling them that they're going to receive persecution. And the second thing he tells them now that it says verse 3, "And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you that ye, when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asks me whether goest thou." The second thing he tells them, first of all, he tells them they're going to receive persecution. The second thing he tells them that he's leaving them. So again, he's giving them information that's probably not very encouraging. And even here, the Bible tells us here, again, tells us their hearts were filled with sorrow. Now, they've been given two things of information. And then he tells us that their hearts have been filled with sorrow. And if you remember back, if you don't remember, let's go look at it. What he tells them in the beginning of all this in John chapter 14. He tells them to let not your heart be troubled. But here we find them that the Bible tells us that their hearts were filled with trouble there in verse number 6. "Because I have said these things unto you, your sorrow hath filled your heart." Now again, because he told them these things, what things did he tell them? He told them, first of all, that they were going to be persecuted and killed. The second thing he tells them, that he's leaving them. And then he tells them that their hearts are filled with, that he tells us that their hearts were filled with sorrow. Out of those two things, why were their hearts filled with sorrow? Is that a good question? What's bothering them? I would hope that it was because he was leaving them, but it's not. How do you know, preacher? Well, look what he says here. Verse number 5. "But now I go my way to him that sent me, and now none of you ask me whether goest thou." They hear verse 1 and 2. And their hearts are already filled with sorrow because of the fact that they're going to receive persecution and they're going to receive the threats of death. Again, I would think that if we could say that it'd be us, that it'd be our, because he was leaving us. But again, I'm afraid even in our day, so many times that's not the truth. The majority of people, now nobody, me and Brother Windham were talking earlier, we were talking about surgeries and different things, and he made a mention about his insurance acting like, you know, that he was just excited about going to getting his chest cracked open and have heart surgery. You know, they made it act like it something he really wanted to do. Nobody wants to go get your heart replaced or your chest cracked open. That, nobody wants to line up and say, "I want to go first." Do you? No. But nobody wants persecution in our day. Everybody wants easiness. Everybody. I guarantee you that if we lined up, this is going to be an easy way to get to point A. This will be a hard way to get to point A. Majority of people will line up on the easy way. Everybody wants the benefits of Christ. Everybody wants what God has for us, but nobody wants to suffer to get it. And here these men, they're filled with sorrow because that they're going to suffer persecution. And again, nobody likes it, but listen, the Lord tells us that we're going to be persecuted. And it's a shame, and I believe that's probably one of the, you know, the problems of our churches of our day. And I say our churches and this church, this place here, is because we don't have a lot of persecution. We are, and I don't get mad at me. It's all of us. We have it way too easy. Christ really isn't as important to us as we think he is because we have it so easy. You talk to somebody in a Muslim country that's serving the Lord and ask them how easy it is. But again, we don't desire that persecution, but persecution does something to us. It strengthens us. It draws us to the place that we rely more on Christ. But again, people want all the answers, but they don't want to know how to get them. And again, they want the peace and the joy, but they don't know how to, they don't want to go the way they are supposed to get it. And again, they want everything Jesus offers, but without the persecution. So that's the first thing. And then the second thing that we find here in verse number 7, he tells them of another truth that he mentioned in chapter 15, but here he goes even further in depth. Verse 7 says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Aren't you glad? You know, I did not watch the so-called Democratic thing last night or whatever because I could care less about that. But everyone up there was telling something. There probably wasn't a whole lot of truth telling. You know, I tell you the truth. Usually when people, I worry about that when a man tells me that. It's like, well, wouldn't you tell me the truth anyway? Probably not. But the Lord says, I'm getting ready to tell you the truth. And there's only one place tonight, church, that we can find truth. And that's in the Word of God. And listen, don't be deceived. Don't take man's word. Don't take man's philosophy. Find out what saith the Scripture. And the Lord tells them, nevertheless, even though they're acting this way, I tell you the truth. And then he goes on to say, it is expedient for you that I go. That word expedient means it's good for you. What he's getting ready to tell us is good for us. Now remember that. You know, it's sort of like that medicine, you gotta hold your nose and swallow, but it's good for you. This is what the Lord's getting ready to tell us, something that really in the flesh is hard to swallow. But if we realize that he's telling us the truth, it's good for us. How many of us parents tonight, first of all, remember when you was a child and mom and daddy says it hurts me worse to whip you than, however that goes, hurts me more than hurts you to give you a whipping. I didn't believe it when I was on the end of the whipping side of it. But when I had children and had to discipline them, I understood what daddy was saying. It does hurt. That truth does hurt. And here the Lord's telling us the truth and he says it's good for you. Then he says, it's expedient for you that I go. Away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will prove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So the second thing tonight that the Lord deals with here in these first few verses, again, the first one, he tells them that you're going to receive persecution. He tells them that I'm going away. And then he deals with their thoughts of why they were sorrowful. Then he comes into this place about this Comforter. Notice the capital C. It's not a thing. It's a person. It is a him, it says there. And so he tells them here of this Comforter, this him, a person, not a thing. And who is this? Well, if you drop down to verse 13 and 14, it tells us, howbeit then he, which refers back, the Spirit of truth is come. He will guide you in all truth, for he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Now, I'll go ahead and say this tonight. We're going to look here just for a moment at the working of the Holy Ghost, and this Comforter, this Holy Spirit. And again, many times we have a language that we speak, but I don't know if we really understand when we say what these things are. Now again, when people say the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit of that nature, a lot of times people get a little cringed up, you know, they're a little scared of that in our day, you know, and there's that crowd that's filled with the Spirit, and I'm glad we can be filled, and the Lord tells us that we need to be filled with the Spirit. But it's not that gibberish, it's not those things, we'll look at that here in just a little bit. But, you know, and I've worked with people that is in that charismatic type crowd, You know, they talk about their talking in tongues. They talk about their slain in the spirit. They talk about these spiritual gifts that they have. But these verses right here that we just read is probably one of the most defining evidence of they're not real. Because everything that the Spirit does will never point to a person. It will always point to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you watch this charismatic crowd and you watch that bunch there, they're always glorying in what they can do. And God tells us that's not the Spirit. So He tells them here of this Comforter, and He's speaking here of the person of the Holy Ghost. And again, we know this evening, and me and Brother Windham had this conversation with a lady a few weeks ago over here when we was out visiting. She asked that question about what I thought about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. I mean, and again, the Trinity, again, the word Trinity is not in the Bible. The Trinity is one of those things that's it's hard to explain, but you can't discredit it. It's here. God shows it. And He shows it here in great ways. So we know there is one God made up of three persons. You cannot have God the Father without God the Son. You cannot have God the Son without God the Holy Spirit. And we'll show you some verses here of that in just a little bit. So the Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 5, if you want to make some notes about, because you'll deal with people when they ask about the Trinity. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy One," or the Holy Ghost, "and these three are one." I don't know why you would need any other verses. There's other verses that we're going to look at. But God tells us here that these three are one. You cannot separate them. So look at the work that He tells us here that they're going to do. Verse 13, "Howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come," look what He's going to do. He's going to guide you into all truth. So I'm thankful tonight. Here's a group of men, and God tells them they don't understand, and they don't understand. God tells them that I'm going to send you the Comforter, this Holy Spirit. And when He's come, He will show you all truth. And when that Holy Ghost came in them there on that day of Pentecost, when they were filled in that Spirit, they understood all that God had showed them, and it all came to light. So He's going to guide them in all truth. Again, they had not understood through the miracles, through the workings, but through the working of the Holy Ghost, man will be instructed into truth of the working of a true God. How? From Him residing, and we're going to get to this in a moment, but the Holy Ghost now, prior to Acts, the Holy Ghost would only come at different times throughout the Old Testament, and it was never in them, it was on them. But now the Holy Ghost resides in us, and we'll see some verses on that in just a moment. And how better to know somebody when they're in you? Now, you think you know somebody, but let them come live with you for about a month, and you will really know them, or probably really dislike them. That's the difference between a lost man and a saved man, is we have the Holy Ghost living in us, and through that we are able to be drawn and walk through truth. A lost man can know Bible. They can know words. I know lost men that can quote verses better than a lot of saved men. But what are they missing? They're missing what makes the truth. They're missing that Holy Ghost that guides them in all truth. So again, He resides in us. So we find here that the Lord tells them that He's sending that Comforter, that Holy Ghost, and He's coming into them, and it'll be about Him. Now, again, think about it. Up till this time, all they ever knew about was a God that was in heaven. But now they know of a Holy Ghost that's getting ready to live inside of them. And again, that's the difference. And that's the difference in us. So, again, God is made up of three. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God the Father is where? I don't seem real sure about that. God the Father is where? In heaven. The second part of the Trinity is God the Son. Where's He at? Right hand of the Father. Now, where is the Holy Ghost? Inside of us. How do you know? Well, let's look at some verses. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6 this evening. First Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not, this is chapter 6, 1 Corinthians, verse number 19. What? Know ye not that your body, so what is that? That's that thing you fed just a little bit ago, that thing you're going to bathe after a while and go to bed, and that's your body. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is where? In you, which ye have of God, and ye are not of your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So the Holy Ghost is where? He is in me. Look over in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Look in verse number 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, capital S. Now, again, let me note this, because that points it out. There are many spirits, but there's only one Holy Spirit. And again, it's a capital S there, speaking of Him. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell where? In you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, with that verse there is a great truth. In our day, not just our day, but it's been this way. I don't know how long, but it's been this way. There are groups of people that believe that you get saved. And after you're saved, if you do right and you grow and get to a certain plateau, that sooner or later you'll get the Spirit of God. That's what some people believe. Some people believe that the Spirit of the Holy Spirit is everywhere, and it just chooses to get on certain people at certain times. But all of that is false by just what we've read here this evening. When do you get the Holy Spirit? The moment you're saved. And you cannot have Christ, according to Romans chapter 8, without the Spirit. So you can't have one without the other. So again, we find that Holy Ghost is inside of us, and He resides in us. And with that comes another great truth. Go back to John chapter 16 real quickly. Here in John chapter 16, let's refresh just a moment of what we read. Verse 7. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient. It's good for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So God says that I'm going to go. He told us, I'm leaving. But when I leave, it's good because I'm going to send you this third part, the Comforter. And when this Comforter comes, He's going to guide you in all truth for three reasons. Now, a lot of times we take that word comforter and we take that thought of the Holy Spirit being and dwelling in us. And I don't think we really understand what the purpose of the Holy Ghost in our lives really is. God tells us here tonight a great truth, and it's a shame because depending on where you are, this truth will either bother you or you'll rejoice in it. So he says, I'm sending something to you. Now, anybody here got the Holy Ghost? If you're saved, you do. If you're not saved, I encourage you to get saved tonight. So if you're saved tonight, you have the Holy Ghost inside of you. Everybody good with that? Then I ask you tonight, why? What is the purpose of that Holy Ghost being in you? He tells us right here. The Holy Ghost has got a three-position job that he's going to do. Not just in one person, but in every person. And God tells us here tonight what these things are in verse 8. Three things. He says he's come, the Holy Ghost, he says there in verse 8, he says when he has come, he will reprove the world. Not you, the world. Because if you've got him in you, you've already got that part down. He's going to reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So the Holy Ghost has got a three-point outline. The three-point outline of what the Holy Ghost is going to do in each one of us is he's going to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So, how do you take that? Now, a lot of times people take that word reprove and make it something it's really not. They try to take that word reprove and make it mean to hate or to destroy or to punish. That's not what God is saying through that word reprove. Now, let's remind you of some verses real quick. Hold your place there in John chapter 16. Everybody knows these verses, but let's look at them. Look at John chapter 3. On that thought of reprove, reprove is not to hate. Reprove is not to punish. Reprove is not to destroy. How do you know, preacher? Well, because he tells us again in John chapter 16, in verse number 8, says, when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin. Well, who's the world? The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse number 16, look at this. Everybody knows these verses, but let's tie it to something. For God so hated the world. No. Well, reprove, preacher. He sent the Holy Ghost to reprove them. He hates them. No, that's not what that means. God loves the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn. That's not the message of the Holy Ghost. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So, this thought of reprove, again, we just saw that Christ came into this world because God loved the world. He gave Christ. Now, don't lose me on this. This is, if you take bits of this, you'll think I'm crazy, but don't take bits of it. Listen to the whole thing. Do you believe that Jesus Christ did everything that man could be saved? But he didn't. Christ died. True? Yeah. Nobody gets saved because he died. He rose again. But just because he rose again, nobody got saved. When did they get saved? When that Holy Ghost shows up and convicts, and they choose to believe in reproof, righteousness, and judgment. Now I want to make sure everybody's on the same page before we run off. Because you're going to leave here and say, well, he said that Christ died on the cross didn't save us. No, he paid the price. Yes. But he paid the price for the whole world.
That's right.
The whole world's not saved.
Right.
This is the key tonight to what we're getting ready to look at. Salvation is possible because of the work of the Holy Spirit. How, preacher? Because the message of the Holy Spirit is to reprove the world of sin. So, again, Christ did everything that he was supposed to do, but then he sends us the third part. God sent the Son paid the price, and here comes the Holy Ghost. So how does a condemned man get saved? Again, God sent the Son dies and rises, but the Holy Ghost does what? Here's the message. You're not, and this is where so many people are so deceived. Do you know there's nobody going to hell because they're a drunk? There's nobody going to hell tonight because they're a prostitute or a child molester or a thief. What's the only thing that sends a man to hell? He tells us here, because they did not believe in him. That's the only reason a man goes to hell. So Christ here sends the Holy Ghost for the purpose of reproving the world of sin. This is the reproof that the Holy Ghost tells the world. Again, it's not the sin of drinking. It's not the sin of smoking or cussing. It's what? It's in not believing in Christ. That's what reproves the world of sin. The sin is not, that is a sin unto death. That's that sin that there's no hope for. If a man dies without accepting Christ, trusting Christ, believing in Christ, that is that first message of the Holy Ghost, is to reprove the world, to show them that it is Christ and Christ alone that they need. Second message here found in chapter 16 of what the Holy Ghost is here to do is, first of all, again, look at it, verse 8. He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Verse 9 says, of sin, which was the first one, because they believe not on me. See, that's the part of that reproof. So the second one is of righteousness, and then it ties it there in verse 10, of righteousness, because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. So righteousness is one of those things. There's a lot of things that's right. 2 plus 2 is right, but that's not righteousness. Well, I'm better than so-and-so. That's not righteousness. There's only one person that we have to measure up to, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost is here to tell a man, first of all, the sin of not believing in Christ. The second all is to show a man that Christ is, again, our righteousness, the Bible says, is his filthy rags. Only he has true righteousness. So the Holy Ghost shows forth Christ as that bar, as that one that we must compare to. And again, don't compare to a preacher or a person. You've got to look to Christ. And then the third message tonight of the Holy Ghost is of judgment. Notice again, verse 8. And he has come, and when he has come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. That's the reproof of sin. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and they see me no more. Again, we like to look at everybody else and say, well, I'm better than him or I'm better than her. No, our guide, our mark, our bar is Christ. And then the third message of the Holy Ghost is, and of judgment. And then verse number 11 says, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Christ showed forth the wrath of God. Christ, in his payment, took on, again, if you go back to John chapter 3 and read there in 16, 17, 18, because of Christ, we don't have that condemnation anymore. Christ has taken our place. He has paid our price. He is our propitiation. He is what takes that place of our payment. So of judgment, the third message of the Holy Ghost, Christ has showed forth the wrath of God. And if God, and this is the message of the Holy Ghost, because people think, well, you know how people are today. God loves everybody. If God loved, He wouldn't send nobody to hell. Right? But if God would punish His own Son, would He not punish you? That's the message of the Holy Ghost. He did not hold back that wrath off of His Son because He's paying it for me. And if He would do that to His Son, He's going to do that to a man that rejects Christ. And then notice there in verse number 11 of that judgment, of the judgment called the prince of this world. Who's that? Satan. It doesn't say will be judged, is judged. God didn't spare His own Son. He's not going to spare me. And now here, the prince of this world, Satan, is judged. And again, it's not will be, he is judged. And it's all to the place that Christ is king. The prince of this world is already judged. He judged Satan. Christ took the wrath of God for us. And if he would lay that upon His own Son, you better believe it, that you will. If you don't accept Christ, you'll feel the wrath of God. So, here's the message. If you deny or reject the Lord Jesus Christ, you're guilty and will be condemned. These three messages, I believe, if you don't do door knocking, if you don't hand out tracts, if you don't witness people, you don't know these things, but you deal with people, you're going to hear about three things that this three messages the Holy Ghost takes care of. The first one is, you talk to somebody, they'll say, well, I'm a good person. Compared to who? Compared to me, you might be a good person, but not compared to Christ. Well, again, people say, well, God loves me. And God is a God of love, so God wouldn't send me to hell. That's not true either, because Christ felt the wrath of God. Christ felt that punishment. And then third of all, people think, well, there's more than one way. No, the Bible says here that there's only one way. And it's Christ. Because they didn't believe in who? Him. He's the way. So, to me, this is a great truth. And I rejoice because thank God that the Holy Ghost showed me I was a sinner. Thank God, God did put conviction in my soul that I didn't want to die and go to hell and feel the wrath of God. Thank God that the Holy Ghost showed me that there was a way, and His name's Jesus. And God loved me so much that He gave us that way. So, but people that you talk to, the Bible says you're a sinner. I am not a sinner. See, that's the Holy Ghost trying to reproof of sin. Trying to reproof of righteousness, trying to reproof of that judgment. And they take it the wrong way, but they shouldn't take it that way. So here comes the last message, and this is the hard one. Quick test. Where's the Holy Ghost reside? Everybody got it. No questions. Where's the Holy Ghost? Everybody, if you're saved tonight, point at yourself. Holy Ghost is in you, right? What's the workings of the Holy Ghost? To reprove sin, righteousness, and judgment. Is that what we saw? So the Holy Ghost in you has a message to the world. Why? Because He says it's going to reprove the world of sin, of righteousness, and judgment. So how will that message be sent? Through you. The Holy Ghost has no legs. You're His legs. The Holy Ghost has no mouth. It's your mouth. So how will that message be sent? It's through you. The world will never hear the greatest message of reproof, righteousness and judgment if we don't tell them. So, why would the Lord tell them these things? Again, look back to verse 1. He's telling them they're getting the Holy Ghost. He's telling them that Holy Ghost is going to speak through them to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Verse 1 and 2, he tells them the world's not going to like that message. He tells them in verse 1 again, he says, these things have I spoken to you that ye should not be offended. Does it offend you tonight that God tells you that the Holy Ghost lives inside of you and that message of the Holy Ghost is to tell the world that the reproof of sin and righteousness and judgment? God says it's going to offend you. And then he tells them something else. He says, they're going to kill you. They're going to kick you out. You're not going to be liked. You know why most people don't ever let the message of the Holy Ghost come out of them? Because it offends them. I just don't want to offend nobody, preacher. Then you're denying the message of the Holy Ghost. Well, preacher, they might kick me out. Well, Jesus went to a cross for you. They might kill me. They did kill him. And in our day, you don't even have to worry about that. About the worst things ever happened to me is I've been cussed and the door slammed in my face. And a stinking little dog bit me on the back of the leg and the hand one time. That's the only bad things I can say about witnessing. I've never had nobody stick a gun to my head and say, I'm going to blow your head off. Never had that happen. It might happen. But I've never had it happen. Most of the time, they just ignore me and go on. But God has told us, that, and he's told these men, and he's telling us that I'm sending somebody, the Comforter. And when that Comforter's come, he's going to guide you in all truth. And through that guiding of all truth, he's got a message he wants to preach. And he wants to tell the world of the reproof of sin and righteousness and of judgment. And that's the same message that's inside of us if we're saved tonight. So again, the Father's in heaven, the Son's at the right hand, and the Spirit's in us. And he uses us for a vehicle to take the gospel to the whole world. Look here in John chapter 16. What does it bring? He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. It brings Christ glory when the Holy Ghost speaks that message through us. Now, I'm not here to upset you. I'm not here to make you mad. I'm here to tell you that this is what God has said. This is what the purpose. Why are you here anyway? We're not here to sit on a pew. We're not here to just live a life of leisure and comfort. No, we're here to let the Holy Ghost send this message to the world. And it's to glorify the Lord through our yielding to the Holy Ghost. Now, you can deny the Holy Ghost. You can say, nope, you sit down, be still. Because the only way that message is going to come out is if you open your mouth and tell somebody about sin, about a payment for sin, about a way to have life. And it's all through the Holy Ghost. God the Father sent the Son. The Son went to the cross and died and rose again. He sent the Holy Ghost to be a voice to the world of the reproof of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's the purpose of the Holy Ghost. Now, I don't know you. And again, to think tonight, aren't you glad tonight? I mean, if it wasn't for the Holy Ghost, we wouldn't know anything. I mean, he lives inside of me. He walks with me. He talks with me. But do I listen to him? Do I know it? Last Sunday, this past Sunday, I've known her, well, I've known her longer than that, but I've been married to her for 29 years. I know a whole lot more now about her. And she knows a whole lot more about me than we did day one. Can you say that about you and the Holy Ghost? Amen. All right, let's stand together this evening. Now make sure you understood what I said. Christ died. He did.